Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our theme for Lent this year has been to reflect on the words of our Lord Jesus, the words of our Lord that are the institution of Holy Communion. And it was already a little bit bizarre that we were doing this during Vespers on Wednesday nights, talking about communion. It kind of would seem that you'd want to have communion after talking about the blessing that is the Lord's Supper and what these different words mean. And in light of everything going on, I thought about doing something different tonight. And I looked at what my outline was, what word I was supposed to preach on tonight from the words of institution. And it just so happened that it is the word often. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. With that word, our Lord Jesus more than implies, but says that gathering around the body and blood of Jesus Christ is something that should be done often. And what an irony that that is the word on which to reflect this week, in which we've had to make very, very difficult decisions regarding our gathering together to receive the Lord's Supper and the proclamation of the word, a time in which we are prohibited from gathering together in too large a number. And it's been tempting to kind of think of us as some sort of martyrs, or as though we're being persecuted by being told, no, you can't have more than 50 in a place, or in some places, no, you can't have more than 10 in a place. The reality is, we are a people who love the Lord's Supper, who do it often. In fact, here at our Redeemer, we do it every single Sunday and all sorts of other special days and festivals in between. And now that's being challenged just by the circumstances. We're on the one hand torn between wanting to love and care for our neighbor and social distance and keep people away from places where they could become sick, and yet do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. A lot of people wonder what that word often means, but we do know from Luke's book of Acts, chapter 2, that the breaking of bread was at the center of what the disciples did, those who followed Jesus after his ascension. They gather themselves together around the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, the breaking of bread and the prayers. They did it often, because as we focused with the word is, that body and blood are Jesus with us in bread and wine, and that assurance. So what do we do now in this time when some people can't come? Some people feel the need to stay away. And we certainly are challenged to do it all together with one another as the body of Christ. The first thing we should do is remember that Jesus has made no law with regards to how often we receive the body and blood. He said often. It should be a part of our lives as the church, and indeed it continues to be part of our life as the church. But rest free in the gospel, because that's what the body and blood of Jesus are. They are the purest gospel. They are Jesus for us. Not as something we have to do or must do, but something that is given as pure gift. And sometimes we're denied a gift by circumstance, by health, by challenges that get in the way. But never forget, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that this body and blood, which we will continue to offer individually, it seems it will be for now, not in groups gathered together as a congregation, but by individuals and families coming each one at a time, that body and blood will be for you, here for you, often as you stay away, it will remain here for you. It will remain. Because Jesus is with his church. And that's the beauty. We've heard a promise from our Lord Jesus that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. The church will always be here. The church will continue. The church will do what the church does. Gather around body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. And that won't stop. It might look different. Might take on a different form, and you might be